Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? What a question, a faithful man who can find? And in Proverbs 28, we'll look at verse number 20. Proverbs 28, 20. What a wonderful promise, a good encouragement. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless our study tonight, Lord. And I pray, dear Lord, that our church would do all that it can to strengthen our families, dear God, and our families would do all it can to strengthen their church. And Lord, may we both equally be dedicated to these tasks, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. If you were here last Wednesday night, we taught on seven ways a church can strengthen the home. And tonight I promised that, Lord willing, we'd be standing here and we could teach on seven ways a home can strengthen the church. A home can strengthen the church. Well, if you're not going to be surprised to find out that the first one has to do with faithfulness. That's the verses that we covered in our text reading. I believe just as the church has a responsibility to strengthen the homes, every home ought to have a responsibility to strengthen the church. I had somebody, and you wouldn't know who it was, so it doesn't matter, so I'll tell the story. But we had a family that put their children in our Christian school. They left them in for 1 year, and then they took them out. We've had folks do that a number of times through the years. But the mother came, and by the way, the kids were okay. We take on some projects to help people, and I felt like that's what we did. But the mother stopped in at the end of the year and told me they were going to go a different direction the next year. And she said, I want to thank you so much for helping my children. She said, this ministry helped our kids. Blessed Hope Baptist School helped our kids. And I told her, I said, well, I'm glad to hear that because that's certainly our goal. But I said, I want you to go home and sit down and talk to your kids about this question. Did your kids help Blessed Hope Baptist School? Did your kids help Blessed Hope Baptist School? What do you mean by that? I mean, by them having been in our school, even for 1 year, is it a better place? Did they help? Did they strengthen things? Were they the right influence? You see, folks, too many times we have a very one-sided view of ministry. We go to the church, and it's easy for us to go to the church. I'm not saying everybody does, but it's very easy to go to the church with a what does the church need to do for us attitude. But, well, I think what we ought to also think is, Lord, I don't want to just come to church to get a blessing. I want to come to church to be a blessing, okay? I don't want to just go to a good church. I want by me being there to help make it a better church. And the minute that you have that mentality, it changes the way you think, you know. And so I don't know if that lady went home and had that conversation with her kids or not. I hope that she did. And I hope that those kids learned something from that interaction. Because again, I think here was a family that showed up with a mentality, my kids are in trouble. Would you help my kids? And not any thought of, will my kids help you? And so that's what we're talking about here. Not just a matter of the church strengthening the home, but the home turn around and strengthening the church. And so how can we strengthen our church? How can our homes strengthen our church? Number one, strengthen your church with your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Let's start there. That's a good place to start. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fell among the children of men. Is that true? Yeah, statistics are proving it out. A faithful man who can find? That's the question. Well, recent survey, they did a survey and said that 40% of Americans just recently, 2013, I think, 40% of Americans attend church. Well, that's pretty broad. Folks, I can tell you this, about 95% of the people in this community attend church. If you don't believe them, just ask them. But if we counted them all up and we counted the number of churches and the Sunday attendance, I don't know where they all go, but they're going somewhere to church. Now, they did a much more specific poll. And they did a poll not just on do you attend church, but do you faithfully attend church. Now, let me give you the definition of faithfully attending church in this poll. Do you attend at least once a week? Do you attend church once a week? If someone came just one service a week, they were grouped in this faithful group of people that attend church. And the statistics come back that it's not 40% of Americans. It's 19.8% of Americans faithfully attend church as defined as we are there regularly once a week. Now, folks, listen to me. That's on the decline. And it has been on the decline for some time. Faithful church attendance is declining about 1% for every 4 years. Now you think about that. That means 4 years from now it'll be down to under 19%, 18.8%. By 2050, if the trend continues, those who faithfully attend church will drop below 10%. Now watch this. It's going to actually increase the decline faster than that. Because one of the things they're not factoring is the fact that one of the ways it's declining is not just people choosing not to go to church, it's the older group that faithfully attends church that's passing off the scene, and a younger generation that's coming up that just does not see the importance of faithful church attendance. So the decline is attributed to a lot of things, but it's mostly attributed to an older population of faithful attendees passing away. You go to the average church. I mean, you talk to the average pastor out there, just a cross section. And one of the things they'll say is, if they visit here, is, oh my goodness, you have children. It's so refreshing to see the young adults. And I can't tell you how many pastors said, you know what? We have a good group of people, but it's an aged group of people. And you know what? The church is dying off. When they go, I'm not sure who's going to keep it going. And so the decline is being attributed to an older population of faithful attendees. What did you give me all that for to say? I guess to say that, you know what? Bible's true. We knew it was true anyway, but it certainly is true in the United States of America today that it is harder and harder to find the attribute of faithfulness among people that would at least claim to be Christians. For the faithful fail from among the children of men, but a faithful man who can find? But I got good news for you. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. That promise is still in the Bible. And you know what? If it gets down to 10% or 8% or 7%, maybe when I die it's only 5%, then Lord, count me in on the 5%. I want to be part of that faithful group. Now, there's a lot of reasons to be faithful to church. I was listening to Brother Roloff this morning. I happened to jump in the vehicle and was just driving for a short distance, and all of a sudden, here comes the voice of Brother Roloff on the radio, and he was talking about the problem with people making excuses and the fact that they are trying to separate a relationship with God to church attendance. Now, he was preaching these things 40 years ago, folks. And he said something very interesting. I don't know if you heard him this morning, but he said, you know, all of these men that want to tell me that they can go to the fishing hole and they can worship Jesus on Sunday and they can fellowship with God on Sunday. They don't have to come to church to do it. And the guys that are in their deer stands and the guys that are out playing golf. He said, but I've been to all kinds of testimony meetings. And he said, I've listened to testimonies from my entire life. And I've yet to hear somebody stand up and say, I was Sunday morning out playing golf, and on the ninth tee box, I teed up my ball, and then fell under Holy Spirit conviction because my relationship with God, fellowship was so strong, and I got on my knees and made things right, or I got on my knees and got born again. You know, I'd like to hear one testimony of one person stayed up that wants to claim they're spending all this quality time with God and ever having a heart-changing decision. Folks, listen to me. We need to push back on that. If the devil's whispering in your ear this idea that you can have a relationship with God and that the church that God spoke into existence is not necessary to strengthen that relationship, you're being sold a bill of goods. And so why be faithful to church? Well, there's a lot of reasons. I even preach a message, 10 Bible reasons to be faithful to church. I don't think church attendance ought to be a preference. To me, it's a Bible conviction. I have Bible reasons why I'm here every time the church doors open. I have Bible reasons for that. But I got to thinking, this is a 7-point outline. I can't cover all that. But I just sat back in my chair and said, Lord, what's the most important reason to be faithful? And I thought of this. I thought, maybe it's because God's been faithful to me. You know, folks, listen, I can't duplicate most of the attributes of God. I can't. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that are, it's in his realm and his realm alone. I can't touch it. I can't touch the hem of the garment of it. But you know what? Anybody can be faithful. And you know, one of the attributes of God is his faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Isn't that something? God is called the faithful God. I like what God had Jeremiah write in Lamentations. This I call to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Here it is. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. A lot of things, a lot of attributes of God that I can't come close to, but I want to, as much as possible, be faithful. If God's been faithful to me, I want to be faithful to the Lord. And I want to thank, I mean, here I'm preaching a Wednesday night crowd, folks, and I guess mostly to sit up here, not to tell you, hey, start being faithful, but just keep being faithful. Keep being faithful. Easiest thing in the world is to let, you know, the first service that slips usually is the Wednesday night service. So I want to exhort those of you that are here not to let that slip. You know, it's easy to come up with reasons. It's easy to come up with an excuse. But the problem is, for everybody that ever got completely out of church, they usually started it by missing Wednesday night. And then pretty soon it was, well, Sunday nights. And then we can come in at 10:30 on Sunday morning. And then next thing you know, all of a sudden you can't find them. And so you know what? I figure the best way to not ever get out of church is to never make an excuse for missing any of church. I just want to be here. If God can be faithful, I can be faithful. You know, one of the things that astounded me, and Brother Reiser's got the same testimony on his church plant so far. It's been really amazing what God's doing. But when me and my wife started the church in Brazil, Indiana, years ago, you know, from the very first service of that church, the entire time we had it, you know, I hear stories of church planters that start and they'll have the first service and the preacher's preaching to his wife and kids and nobody comes. Or maybe they'll come on Sunday morning, but then on Sunday night there's nobody there, or Wednesday night nobody there. You know, the one thing I can say is that we always had somebody walk in the door for every single service. And I'll tell you a large reason for that. I'm just going to tell you, and if I brag on one person, I guess I got to brag on everybody, but I've already bragged on you all right? Wednesday night crowd, all right? But one of the big reasons that was true is because of Estelle and Anna Senders. And I remember one winter night, we headed over on a Wednesday night, and it was bad. It was one of those, okay, I'm a new preacher, I'm gung-ho, bless God, we never canceled church. And then I get to church, look outside, and say, we should have canceled church. It was horrible. It was horrible. And I thought, but I told Cheryl, nobody's going to come. Nobody's going to come. They shouldn't come. They shouldn't have been out in this. We shouldn't have been out in this. And so we were waiting at the door with the light on just to get to 7 o'clock so we could lock the door, get in our car, and try to get home, you know. That was it. And Brother Estelle and Sister Anna pull up in front of the church and get out. And I start apologizing, you know. And I probably should have called you. But you know what we did? We got together. We had a short time of prayer together. And we had a prayer meeting time. And then he got in his car and we got to our car. And we drove about 10 miles all the way, miles per hour home. You know, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I still never have forgot that. You know, you want to do it for God, but let me just say this. There's nothing that you can do more to encourage your preacher, your pastor, than just to walk in the door. And I mean that, just to walk in the door, just to be faithful. I want to be faithful. I talked to Brother John Reiser Sunday, and Brother John's health is now starting to affect his church attendance. And there's some services, Brother John, pray for him, by the way, just pray for him. But he just absolutely sometimes cannot be here. And he stood in the back and just almost in tears just said, Preacher, I want you to know that if I'm not here, it's not because I'm hanging out of church. I've never been that person. And he didn't have to say that to me. I knew that. But here's a man just brokenhearted that he can't come. And I thought to myself, man, I tell you what, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what I will be able to do or not be able to do. And we have good good church members, good Christians that can't come any services right now? You think Mrs. Fulkerson would want to love to walk into Blessed Oak Baptist Church for another service? But I want to say this, Lord, as long as I'm physically able to do it, I want to be faithful. Because you know what? If it says nothing else to anybody else, it says to the young people, no matter what I'm going through, this is important, kids. This is important. All right. That's number one. Now, all of you are doing the math in your head and saying, we're in trouble. They won't all take that long. Maybe that's a good one to drive a stake in down. All right. Number two, strengthen your church with your prayers. With your prayers. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. There's so many great prayer promises and prayer commands that we could have gone almost to any book in the Bible. But let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 where we are exhorted. We are exhorted in this matter of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1 through 3. I exhort therefore that first of all, 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's one of those first of all commands. The prayers are so important for a church. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. There's something, this is something that everybody in the church can do, and I love this. I mean, little children, I mean, when they're old enough to get down on their knees and cup their hands like this, they can learn to, and shortly after they can talk, they can learn to pray. How about that? Isn't that something? So we could have the youngest child to the most feeble saint, and you know what? Everyone can join together in prayer for their church. I went up and preached for Brother Dan Woodward, I think about a year ago, up in Dwight, Illinois, and I usually don't stay in homes. I'll just tell you, I just don't. If a church wants me to come, and I've got reasons, I've kind of stopped doing that. But Brother Dan, he's been a friend forever. He said, preacher, we got a guest chamber. We want you to stay in the house. And he said, I've got a reason for it. I want you to stay in the house. And I said, all right. So we had the service, and then afterwards we went to his home, and he had a nice room there for me. But he told me, my mother lives with us. And they built her little apartment kind of attached to the house there, and she stays there. And he said every guest preacher that I have, I want to bring them home and I want them to meet my mom. And he said, I'm doing that for her sake, but I'm doing that for your sake, and you'll understand why. So I went in. He next morning we got up, and he, right after breakfast, took me over. I went and sat in the apartment with his mother and spent about 30 minutes with her. And she had a little card waiting, and she filled out all the information about me, my ministry, my wife, my family's names, everything. And he told me afterwards, he said, from the day she meets you till the day she dies or she's not able to do it, I promise you, preacher, every single day that woman will, she's up to praying 4 hours a day, 4 hours every single morning. She prays for, she starts by praying for her son, who's her pastor, and she prays for every member of her church. Hey, listen to me, folks. Don't tell me you can't do something. Listen, if you can pray, you have an important ministry. We absolutely, I'm appealing to our senior saints here, okay? I'm appealing to you because you have more time than some of the younger ones do. You just do. And, you know, you can sit at home looking at the walls and grieving about what you can't do, or you could start a prayer ministry, a prayer ministry. We need widows given to prayer, widowers given to prayer. Older couples that make this an important part of your life. I'm talking about substantial time in prayer. 4 hours that woman every single morning goes through those cards and lifts up these voices. And you know what? That means from last year when I met her till this morning that Mrs. Woodward found my card and called my name out to heaven. I'm so glad that I met her. Folks, listen to me. If she'll do that for me and she'll do that for this church, and she'll do this for my family, then tell me we're praying one for another. Tell me we're praying one for another. And so this matter of prayer, John R. Rice said all of our failures are prayer failures. Well, we're going to find out how true that is when we get to heaven. You know, Andrew Murray, great prayer preacher, prayer warrior, the man who mobilizes the church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelism. Well, think about that. The man who mobilizes the church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelism. Huh? Charles Spurgeon said this. I thought this was interesting. I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. What's the greatest thing you can do for your church? Capital P, capital R, capital A, capital Y. I mean it, folks. Pray, pray, pray. Pray for your church family. Pray for your pastor. Pray for revival. Pray for souls to be saved. You know, just pray, pray. So every family, make it a family project. Children, teenagers, couples praying, senior saints praying for the church. That's one of the greatest ways you can strengthen your church. Number three, strengthen your church with your spirit. With your spirit. I'm going to have you turn to this because I love Psalms 122. Go over to Psalms 122. And I like this psalm, and I like the opening verse of this psalm. Psalm 122. Strengthen the church with your spirit, small s spirit. Psalms 122, verse number 1. 122nd psalm. God used David to pen these words to open this psalm. I was glad when they said unto me, let me go into the house of the Lord. You know what? David showed up long before he got there, just when somebody said it's church day, or hey, they're gathering at the church, they're gathering at God's house. Immediately his reaction was that he was glad. You know what? He brought that glad spirit with him. Okay, and one of the great ways to strengthen your church is with your spirit. I started doing a study on this, and I thought, I can't do this. I'm going to preach a message on it soon, though, because I thought, I'm going to go to the New Testament epistles. I'm going to go to the epistles that are written to the New Testament church in the New Testament. And I'm just going to look at this small S word, spirit. And talk about the type of spirit that the church was exhorted to have. And let me give you three. This is a whole message, and I won't even expound on them. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Here, a letter written to the church, exhorting us to have a spirit of meekness, and connecting it to spirituality. Ye which are spiritual, restore such one the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And of course, that spirit of meekness in connection with trying to help people that have fallen by the wayside. You know, you can't help somebody that's backslidden, overtaken in a fault, gotten away from the Lord. You cannot help them with a spirit of superiority, a spirit of a judgmental spirit, a harsh spirit. It doesn't work. You know what? Meekness, I heard this definition of it, and I thought it was good. Meekness is not looking at anybody as being above you or anybody being below you, but being willing and able to approach people as if they were the same as you. So you may be spiritually stronger than this person, but don't come from that position. Come down to where they're at and try to help them and try to listen to them. And I thought about the spirit of meekness and how that would strengthen a church. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be great if we helped our church with the spirit of wisdom, using wisdom in the things that we say. And what we say to each other, using wisdom in the answering of questions of new converts and people that are coming, using wisdom in how we treat different people, understanding a little bit, having some wisdom to discern where they're at and how we can help them and what they need at that time. And then Philippians 3:3, I'll just give you three of them. But for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. And I thought spiritual worship, the spirit of worship. You know, I believe that you ought to come into the house with a spirit of worship. And we're here for a lot of reasons, and that's okay, because honestly, we're given a lot of Bible reasons to be in church. But one of the main ones is, brethren, we are come to worship. And to come in with that spirit of worship where, you know what, once we crack that songbook open, it's not just, you know, looking around and not thinking about it. We're singing these songs of praise to the Lord, and we're exalting him, and we're worshiping him. And so anyway, I will tell you this. You know what, folks? Every single person, this is a good way to test where you're at, and it's a good way to phrase it. Every single member of this church, every single person that walked in the door, we all contribute collectively to the spirit of this meeting right now. Okay? Whatever spirit you have brought in contributes to the spirit of a whole. Now, to me, that means there's a great... I shouldn't have to pray, Lord, help there to be 10 people that have a good spirit to overcome my sour one tonight, you know. I want to walk in and contribute to a positive spirit, a spiritual spirit, a spirit of meekness, a spirit of worship, a spirit of joy, a spirit of happiness. I want that to contribute to that. And here's the second part of that question. If everybody walked in with the same spirit that you have tonight, what kind of service would we be having right now? And I think we all have to take ownership of that, okay? It's not enough to say, well, I'm just, you know, but there's enough good people. No, baloney. You know what? I believe that every single person that walked in here to some extent affect the spirit of what's going on here tonight. You're either impacting it positively or negatively. And the key, you know, the cure for that isn't, well, then fine, I'll just stay home. The key is come with the right spirit. You know, I mean, you just revealed, I think, where you're at on your spirit. If that's got to be the cure. But I mean, make a point to do it. Hey, Wednesday night, good night. I'm sure that there's people that have come in here, and honestly, you've had one of those days and nothing's gone well. I get it someday. But you know what? Something about pulling in that parking lot. We've got to stop and we've got to get with God. Because, Lord, I'm about to walk in, and I've got a responsibility to the young people. I've got a responsibility to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I've got a responsibility to my pastor. He shouldn't have to be up there trying to preach and help and look out my sour disposition. I need to contribute to the song service. I need to contribute to the prayer time. I need to contribute in a positive way so that this time of assembling truly edifies and helps my brothers and sisters in Christ. So with your spirit. Now that means parents, we're talking about the family. That means you need to take inventory of that. Okay? I mean, if one of your kids, you know, is sideways and they've been sideways all afternoon, they get in the car and they sit back there and they're sideways, I wouldn't let them walk into church like that. Okay? I mean, seriously. We've almost got this idea that, well, you know, you can't control their attitude. Well, let me say this, folks. Listen to me. You can punish the wrong attitude. Oh, they're just having a bad day, sitting over there pouting and angry. And they're just, you know, stop making excuses for them. By the way, you if you allow that in your house, then you have it in your house. Okay? I monitored, growing up, we're raising our girls, we monitored the spirit of our girls. You didn't just get allowed to walk away around the whole day being mean and ornery and nasty to everybody or walking around with a sour disposition. What's the issue? Come here, let's talk. Okay, enough of that. Enough of this feeling sorry for yourself. Enough of this poor me stuff. Okay? You're going to put a smile on your face. I'm going to attitude change. Okay, I don't get it. It's just like we can't control that. We just surrender to it. Okay, and now a lot of reasons that they do it is because they're getting rewarded for it instead of punished for it. Let me just give you a little key here. One of the things that I don't say out loud a lot, but I'm going to tell you something. I live it. I will not reward wrong behavior. I will never see if somebody. Okay, if a kid throws a tantrum and then you give them their way, you just rewarded bad behavior. But it's not just children that throw tantrums. Okay? And if somebody's pouting and then you go over and give in to them because they're pouting, you've just told them that pouting's the way to get what you want. You're growing up a pouter. Okay? So I don't reward bad behavior. I correct bad behavior. Okay? Or punish bad behavior. But never reward bad behavior. Okay, by the way, and I don't have to say this because it is my wife, but gentlemen, that needs to work with your wife too. I'm helping you right now. Okay, if your wife is if her behavior's wrong, but then it moves you to let her get what she wants. Now, first of all, her mom and dad should have got that business out of her when she was a kid. But if they didn't, you need to. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about leading a home. Okay? I mean, you know, you're creating your own monster. Okay? Amen. This is good. Thank you, Mom. Amen. Likes to hear a lady's voice in here. Of course, Dad's dead. She can say that now. So. Easy for her, yeah. I don't reward it with church members. Okay? If you think bad behavior is going to get you what you think you want in this church, it's going to get you something, but it won't get you what you want. Why? Because it's a principle of life. Okay? If you reward bad behavior, you encourage bad behavior. Okay? So why would I reward bad behavior? If somebody's out of line wrong, or their disposition is wrong, or the action they took is wrong, and then we've got to change things to make them happy, then they're going to come do it next week. You know why most pastors are basically, you know, the manager of utter chaos? It's because they help create it. Okay? You know, if they got this family mad this week, and then what do we got to do to make them happy? And what do we got to do to make them happy? And what do we got to do to make them happy? That's nonsense. Again, by the way, that should have gotten out of you when you were two. Okay, but somebody lets you at some point got it in your head that works. And that's what I'm saying, husbands. If you're letting it work in your home, that's why your wife comes here and thinks it's going to work here. It ain't going to work here because, see, I don't have to go home with her. Amen. 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 There you go. That is good. How did I get off on that? Oh, yeah. Heart for home. Amen. Strengthen the church. Amen. Strengthen your church with your spirit. Amen. Number four, strengthen your church with your involvement. Your involvement. I love what Paul wrote. Of course, we know under inspiration, but the opening verses in 1 Thessalonians, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. He was writing to a church that knew what it was to be involved. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love. I'll give you one quick illustration. We'll jump over this one. But, you know, when you get involved in the church, you strengthen the church. And appreciate the good spirit. I mean this, good spirit. I have folks coming to me and almost need to create jobs. We got more people volunteering than right now I can find things to do, but we're going to get you involved. But let me just say this. I think that wanting to be involved in the Church of Jesus Christ is something that, man, we've got to encourage. Remember my mom and dad, right after mom just told this story again to me, or alluded to the story just recently we were talking. But mom and dad got saved, 26 years of age, got into the church, got faithful right away. And man alive, preacher would get up and ask, we need help in this. And mom and dad would look at each other. Well, we haven't been going here very long. I wonder if they'd let us. And they look around. Nobody'd raise their hand. They'd raise their hand. And they'd volunteer. And then 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 they'd volunteer. And pretty soon, you know, they were involved in everything. And there came a day where they volunteered once too many times, and one of the older members of the church came and said, I know you haven't been saved very long, but stick around. You'll learn. You'll learn. As if, you know, after you're saved a while, you grow to the point where you learn not to be involved. Learn what? Well, I got good news for you. I grew up in that home, and they never did learn. And dad never learned till the day he died. Mom still hasn't learned. And you know what, folks? I just think it ought to be in all of our hearts to say, hey, let's just get involved. Let's just get involved. So when you involve yourself in the church, you strengthen it. Strengthen your church, number five, financially. 1 Corinthians 16:2 exhorts us, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. I think one of the real privileges of gathering here on the first day of the week, Sunday, first day of the week, is to come bringing our tithes and offerings and an opportunity to strengthen our church financially. And thank you for the consistent giving of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Tithes undergird financially the operation of the church. You know, folks, there's a lot of things that aren't real glamorous, you know. But I always kid about this because I have missionaries come in and they show their video presentation. And at the end they'll play some little sappy song and they'll show little pictures of children and older people on whatever, you know. If they're in Mexico, it's these Spanish people and all they need Jesus. And, you know, please take us on for support. And if it's in China, it's poor little Chinese people and little children. And I keep threatening one of these days I'm going to make a video and it's going to have some real sappy music. And then it's going to have a picture of the electric bill and a picture of the gas bill and a picture of the phone bill. And, it's just... I know, it's just not as exciting. It's just, but you know what? When you walk in, did you smell first time we turned on the heat? You know, that's got that first turn on the furnace kind of weird smell that it does. And the Morrises said they liked it. It smelled like heat. So, if you turn that on and we haven't paid the gas bill, it doesn't come on, you know. And thank you for that. One of the things that again, we were talking, me and Mom, just recently. And Dad, when Dad started the church, he was here for the first 10 years or so of the church. And then he went to Cambridge, Maryland. God used him there. And then he went to Midland, Michigan. He took a little church in Midland, Michigan. And just a struggling church, smaller church. And didn't realize till he got there and accepted it just kind of what kind of terrible financial condition the church was in. And he went down to see the banker and to talk to some of the people. And the banker said, you're pastor what church? Midland Baptist Temple. Oh, boy, he said. Well, good luck. He said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, preacher, I need to be honest with you. He said, they got a horrible reputation for not paying their bills. He said, they owe about everybody in town. And my dad went back to the church and got into the records and found out every single bill that they owed to anybody in that town. And he got up in front of the church within a few weeks once he'd done his background, his homework, and said, folks, you brought me in here because you're struggling. You brought me in here because the church isn't going forward and hasn't for a while. He said, God will never bless this church if we do not pay our bills. And this is what he told them. He said, we need a certain amount of money by this Sunday. He said, if a certain amount of money doesn't come in by this Sunday to help us clear off or at least go at and start clearing off some of these debts, he said, on Monday morning, the piano will be out in the parking lot with a for sale sign on it. And then the next week, the pews will be out there. And the next week, the chairs will be out there. And the table will be out there. And he said, I'll sell everything in this church and we'll sit on the floor. But we're going to have a name of being honest in this community. And you know what? My dad settled in there, and he did what some preachers have to do. And you know what? He got that thing turned around, and the minute that they got their finances turned around, it's amazing how all of a sudden everything else started turning around in that church. And the church began to grow and reach people. By the way, Pat Bolton, that's an evangelist now, was my dad led him to the Lord, and a result of that ministry there, and some miraculous things began to happen. But you know where it started? It started with, hey, if we don't do right and we don't pay our bills and we don't give as we're supposed to be given, then why in the world would God bless this church? And I got thinking about that and thought to myself, well, I'm so glad that, you know what, the bills come in the mailbox. And, of course, I open the mail and go through them. And I set them in the financial office. And in the 12 years that I've pastored, I've not one time had to sit down and think to myself, Lord, I better get on my knees and pray because how are we going to pay this electric bill? And thank you, church. Thank you for being obedient Christians, because that strengthens your church. Strengthen your church financially. If you're a member here and you're not tithing, I'm gonna say it, and you need to hear me say it often. First of all, if you're a Christian and you've been saved a while and you know that you should be, I mean this, shame on you. Shame on you for not tithing. If you're a new convert, new Christian, you've never been taught the what the Bible says about it, then you need to learn fast, because The honest truth is, so much of God's personal blessing in your life is going to be tied to this matter of you being faithful, not only just in bringing your tithe, but bringing your offerings. And I'm telling you, there's people all over this church that's proved God out on that. And I think, honestly, one of the joys of me and my wife's life is to actively be involved in the ministry of giving. And I love coming to church, and I love putting my offering and my tithes in the plate, and I love to be involved with it, and I love it. Listen, you're looking at a cheerful giver. I'm not only just going to give. I'm not going to come in like a grump. I'm not going to begrudge God. Good night. God's been so good to us. Been so good to us. And he's been so good to all of us. Amen. Now, let me give you this. Number six, strengthen your church. I'm going to say this. With rave reviews. With rave reviews. You're in the book of Psalms. I think I left you there. Go to 107, Psalms 107. Now, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, talk up your church, folks. Talk up your church. Psalms 107, verses 1 and 2. Psalms 107, 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks. Psalms 107, verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord, what's those next two words? Say so. Man, you ought to be talking about it. You'll be talking about it. You ought to be talking about it. You'll be talking about how good it is to be saved. You ought to be talking about the things that's happening. You ought to be talking about how good God's been to you. You ought to be talking. I mean, people at work on Monday ought to learn that the one thing they shouldn't ask you is, how'd your weekend go? Because all they're going to hear about is, man, you're not going to believe what kind of Sunday we had. Ah, no, not again. You can't ask them anything without it going back to God or going back to something that's going on at their church or a blessing or... let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You know, I say one of the great attitude adjuster psalms is Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gate with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. All generations. Now, listen, folks, let me just help you with something here. You know what? I can't control what everybody outside of this church says about this church. I've given that up a long time ago. If I ever opened up a Facebook page, I'd never get anything else done because I'd be going around blowing people up on Facebook for saying stupid things about our church, and I've got better things to do with my time. But you know, one of the best things that we can do to counteract that is for you to disperse after every service and decide you're going to be a good advertisement for your church. You're going to be a good advertisement for your church. And talk it up. Talk it up. Let your life, let me say this first of all, let your life be a great advertisement for the church. Because before they'll listen to your lips, they'll watch your life. So you know what? I think every one of us ought to live in such, let me give you, I don't know if this is a great illustration or not, but I had a mowing business while I was pastoring in Brazil for several years. I started a mowing business in Terre Haute and built it up. And one time when I sold the business, I was mowing 33 yards a week. And I'd mow on Wednesday, Thursday, and a half day Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I could mow 33 yards in that time period. And that's how I helped supplement, because I was a part-time bike vocational pastor, and then I drove a school bus during the off season. And but I hired a young man, not really hired him. I used a young man occasionally, a family that was attending our church at that time. You remember the Careys, Steve Carey, and Stephen hired him for a while to help to mow every once in a while. Mostly his mom just wanted to keep him busy, so I'd pick him up and we'd go mow. Now let me help. So I tell him, he gets off. By the way, he's the young guy, okay? And so guess who's on the rider? That would be me, all right? I also own the business. That's why I'm on the rider, all right? You're the kid. Here's the push mower. And I'd have him do the front yards of these. And we did just residential, mostly almost all residential. And I said, now, listen, you're going to go. You don't do it in a square like you would at home. You want to go all the way to the front, turn, go back, front. And you can make sure your lines are straight and all this. And so I give him instruction, jump on, start doing the backyard and all that. And I pull around to load up the thing, and I look, and he's got lines going. I mean, it's just. And I say, turn it, hey, hey. So he turns it off. And I said, come here. And we walked over the truck. And I get a business card out with my mowing business on it. And I said, here, look at that. And then I pull a flyer out that advertises all the things we offer. Look at that. I said, you know what that's called? He said, what? He said, what? I said, that's for advertisements, to let people know that we exist, lets them know what we do. And then I take them and I just pull them up and I rip them up and I throw them in a truck. I said, you know how much business those things get me? Nothing. You know what gets me the call? Is somebody driving by and looking at straight lines. And saying, when we pull out of there, calling their neighbor and say, hey, who do you have doing your yard? Man, it looks nice. Okay, so mow your line straight. You know what will help this church more than anything else? Us going out there and mowing our line straight. Okay, because we can advertise and we do, folks, and we can do everything we can, but I promise you there's no advertisement like the lives of the people who come to the church. And so let's mow with our lines straight, all right? Make sure that we're doing the right thing. A separated, happy, godly Christian family is the best advertisement for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. A separated, happy, godly Christian family, I promise you, is the best advertisement for our church. So you let your life be a great advertisement for your church, but also let your lips be a great advertisement for your church, which means this: talk up what's happening at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Talk it up. Here's a little way you can remember, all right? Talk about what has happened recently. Somebody asked, talk about what's happened. Talk about what is happening. Talk about what's going to happen, the next thing on there. That's why I give you a bulletin. You always know what's coming up next. You can talk about it. Talk it up, talk it up, talk it up, talk it up. You know, people are not used to hearing church members say good things about their church. They're just not. And let me tell you why that's true. It doesn't mean that all churches are bad. It's human nature. They tell us that if a person has a good experience at a restaurant, they'll tell one person. If they have a bad experience at a restaurant, they'll tell 10 people. Okay, which tells me that we like complaining a lot more than we do like being positive. All right, you're worried about the restaurant, what it did. I'm worried about the human race, okay? Because we want to focus on the restaurant, and we ought to be focusing on why, when we have a good thing happen, do we only tell one person? We have a bad thing happen, we tell 10 people, okay? The Bible says that love covereth a multitude of sins. And, you know, there's a lot of, listen, I don't care what church you go to. There's not everything going to happen as positive. I think one of the funniest things that ever happened, and it was so terrible it was funny, that happened to me in my young ministry, was that we had a guy come to the church there in Brazil for a while, and he got disgruntled. And if you're going to get disgruntled, then just go. Okay, if I get to the point where no matter what I can do, I can't make you happy, no matter what we do, it's bad, and no matter what I preach, it's wrong, then why just sit there? You know, and then complain to everybody else about how I finally told him, you know, if our church is really that bad, terrible, and horrible, you probably ought to just go find a good place, you know. But it wasn't the problem. The problem in the church, the problem was his spirit, you know. And I'd get up every Sunday and I'd say, man, let me tell you what happened this week. And I'd tell good things that happened. Let me tell you what we got going on right now, and I'd tell about the good things that's going on. Hey, let me tell you what we're going to do in next month, and I'd tell about the good things. And every time I'd do that, he'd just sit out there and just fume. Just mad as he could be. And finally, he stopped at the back door one time, and he said, hey, you need to start being fair. I said, fair about what? He said, you get up in the pulpit, and all you do is talk about all the good things, and you never mention anything bad around here that happens. I told him, I said, you're doing enough of that in the parking lot and on the telephone. I'm just balancing you out. But well, what in the world? What? You know what? He was focused and fixated on negativity. Showed up every service with one idea. I got to find out something that I can go home and gripe about. Now, folks, listen to me. If that is your spirit, it needs to change. Okay? I say this often, but I've watched Christians trample over an acre of flowers to point out a weed. And at some point, it's not the weed that's the issue. And I'm not saying that, you know, hey, if we do something wrong, we're going to try to make it right. But you know what? If all you can ever see is the wrong, then you're missing a whole lot of right that's going on around Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This is a miracle ministry. Let me say it again. This is a miracle ministry. When one of the preachers recently walked up and said, you know your pastor in a mega church, I don't say things like that, but I'm telling you, the size church for the size population area with as many other independent fundamental Baptist churches available, this has been a miracle ministry, and it has been since its conception. And you know what? You can rejoice in that, or you can just get fixated. And so I'm just telling you, folks, listen to me. If we're not talking up our church, who's going to? My Grandpa Ogle, I'm not saying this is probably the best advice, but he said to me one time, if you're not tooting your own horn, who's gonna? I don't know about tooting my horn, but I'd like to toot the horn of what God's doing at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so, you know what? If you'll go out there with a positive and excited spirit about what's happening in your church, people are going to pretty much say, hey, you know what? You talk to anybody from Blessed Hope, they're excited. They're happy. They love it. Maybe we ought to go see what's going on. So I'm talking about how you can strengthen your church. And the last one is strengthening your church by reproducing yourself. We're talking about the family. And so how neat for a family to reach another family. And that's what they did in the book of Acts. You know, we read those great numbers, but we forget the Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Those numbers just didn't happen. It happened, yes, it was God's working, obviously. We're not taking God out of it, but God uses people. And those folks daily were in the temple and in every house teaching and preaching Jesus. They just wouldn't cease. They just talked about the Lord. They were trying to reach other people, other families. Hey, children can still reach children, and teenagers can still reach children. Teenagers, and young adults, listen to me, young adults can reach young adults. And by the way, we have, and some of you have, and thank you for that. But I think we've just hit the tip of the iceberg on the potential there. And families can reach families. Families can reach families. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I promise you this. I'm going to be very conscious as the pastor of this church to try to keep our church in such a state where it will strengthen your family. What I'm asking you to do, please, is keep your family in such a state that it will help strengthen the church. Remember the lady that came? Thank you, Pastor. You helped our kids. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. I mean that. But did your kids help the school? Thank you, preacher. You sure have helped our family. Okay. I'm glad, by the way. I'm glad. I'm honored. I hope so. Let me ask you, has your family helped the church? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in all of this find the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this good message of exhortation, good practical Bible principles that'll help us as a church, help us to be what we ought to be. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'll use this in our congregation. Now, Lord, I'm excited about Sunday, and I want to just stop and pray for Brother Starr and pray for Brother Botra. Lord, I've been lifting their names up, but Lord, I be with them as they travel to us, as they get here on Saturday. Give them a good night's rest Saturday night. And Lord, I pray that you'd prepare their hearts in an unusual way. Do something unusual and special in their lives. Lord, give them an added special anointing of your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we come into Sunday, we'll be ready, raring to go. And Lord, that we would open our hearts and have, Lord, a heart to receive. And Lord, thank you, dear God, for the families. Thank you for the marriages, the couples in our church. Thank you for the teenagers and the young people. Thank you for that great group of senior saints that you've given us, Lord, that have been and are the prayer warriors and provide such spiritual undergirding for the ministry here. And Lord, just help us not to drop the ball. I pray we'll be wise enough, Lord, not to let the devil get into our hearts, get into our minds, get into our spirit, Lord, that we'll just, Lord, just say, no, that isn't the way it's going to be. And devil, you're not going to get a victory here. And you know what? We're not only going to be blessed by our church, we're going to be a blessing to our church. And Lord, keep and protect the spirit of this place, we pray in Jesus' name.